we now turn to what would have to be called a secular appropriation of and appreciation of the desert tradition of discussing Acedia. It is an article by Ian Irvine, and it is a very interesting study of the question of Acedia and the word we've translated as gloominess, tristitia, and sloth as forerunners, anticipators of the problem of chronic ennui. And the author suggests the possibility that the desert fathers and mothers were onto something important, that they had insights we need to appropriate today, because, as this author suggests, what has been described using the terms acedia or more recently ennui is a pervasive problem in society, has been around for quite some time, and is actually potentially destructive of our ability to function effectively in relationship with one another, and to see culture, to see society as a place of opportunity and not just a source of potential alienation and real alienation and even of destruction. So I've divided the article up into numerical sections. These are each of them proper headings of the article, but I've added the numbers to make it a little easier to refer to each of the sections. If we could drop down to number one, the author is interested in a chronic ennui as he's describing it, as an obsession of romantic and realist writers. That it has been mentioned in particular during the Romantic period, and one can even speak of a kind of chronic boredom that is described beginning in the 19th century and then progresses into a notion of alienation of the 20th century that can be described as a kind of an ennui cycle. He has a concern with modern descriptions of this ennui cycle, which are also capable of being listed as what in section three are consistent symptoms. And I'd invite us to take a look at these symptoms and compare them with what we've seen in Evagrius and Cassian, a sense of subjective worthlessness and meaninglessness. Number two, intimations that the subject is missing out on life. Time is a burden. One is old before one's time. Number three, being periodically possessed by impulses or forces over which you have no control. And number four, feelings that we are estranged from, divided within, dispossessed of a healthy self, of a feeling that the way we are acting or experiencing is merely an act, that it's an imitation or somehow destructive. Number five, feelings of revulsion toward or fascination with one's own body and various functions of the body. He particularly mentions the ambivalence towards the realm of the feminine, the female body in particular. Number six, impulses to act violently or maliciously. Number seven, a sense that there are objects in the world that that are somehow malign or are malignant, have a special power over human moods or desires or impulses. A loss in number eight of an animated, enchanted state of identification with the world or with nature. Remember Cassian's conviction, Evagrius's conviction as well, that labor and the opportunity to contribute to the good of the community through the work of one's hands is beneficial and reaches out beyond the community. There is in the desert tradition a sense that in our struggle with Acedia, we acquire the ability to see the goodness, the nobility, the beauty, the wholesomeness of labor. And even its consecrating power, its power to reach out and touch people beyond our immediate circles. This is the opposite of this modern sense of our inability to have a sense of identification with the world, with society, a loss of vision in a very real sense. We don't see what we're doing contributes to anything beyond ourselves. And then physical feelings that are characterized by exhaustions of states of being burdened or weighed down. And clearly, some of this is related to and maybe even symptomatic of what we've discussed in an earlier section on the notion of a chronic persistent sense of depression, kind of a low-grade persistent depression. But Number 10 is particularly important because there's a modern sense that society and its institutions are either connected to or nurturing this experience of ennui, of alienation, which is chronically present in society, that somehow our societal institutions are generating or maintaining this. This is pervasive in our world and has been a conviction of people for some time. Then in number 4, the author goes on to describe the notion of this great ennui as a characteristic of post-traditional Western society. Then the author goes back in numbers 5 and in 6 to try to recover something of the desert father and mother tradition. And I'd invite you to look and see whether you think this is a fair and an accurate description of the tradition, whether you might feel it important to add certain things that we've seen that the author might not have seen, perhaps even particularly this idea that struggling with the vice of Acedia, in Evagrius's sense, yields a sense of joy and of happiness once it's been overcome, which Evagrius says is not normally followed by other kinds of demonic onslaughts. That perhaps coupled with Cashin's notion of the value and purpose of work, a kind of a consecration of labor that reaches out beyond the immediate circumstances, there is, in the sense of the Christian's understanding of the struggle with this vice, a possibility of the consecration of and perceiving the meaning in labor, work, perhaps even the structures of society, beginning to see the forces that we imagine are necessarily responsible for our sense of ennui or for acedia as also capable of being consecrated, being places where labor can lead to the service of God and the service of God's people. So those are just some suggestions of aspects of the understanding of acedia from the desert tradition, which this author perhaps is not as aware of as might be, and which could contribute to a sense of how the desert tradition can itself be a hint of where we need to turn as a modern society. There is a description of Evagrius' system of the logismoi in number 6 to some extent, and a limited description of the vice of acedia, which we've already seen in Cashin. Now, the author is particularly concerned in number 7 with the need to confront one's demons, the importance of recognizing the interior or individual responsibility for working with this, that it is not simply a question of fixing something outside oneself, of changing to another job, finding another study group that will help one find meaning in life, discovering another New Age religious tradition, that it really is an interior struggle which needs to take place in order for this problem to be dealt with. Then there's a questioning of and a kind of a wondering speculation on in number 8, whether this interior or demonological approach to acedia has value. There's certainly a description of its limitations, but at the same time a kind of a hint of a suggestion that maybe this is something that we need to recover in our own day. And then finally, there's a kind of a concluding description in numbers 9 and 10 of how we do need to try to appropriate the best of the desert tradition in order to apply it to the modern problem of ennui, of a sense of tedium in life, or even an alienation from goals, a sense of an emptying out of meaning and value, or a sense of the meaning and value that could be there within the world around us. So this is just one example of a modern author who is interested in trying to suggest the need to recover the monastic insights that can be applied in our own day. And I'd invite you to spend a little time looking at this article in a little more detail and reflecting on the extent to which what you have seen in the desert tradition might be ways of augmenting the insights or concerns of the author of this article.